We read the Word of God tonight from Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. And we read the chapter, Genesis 28, beginning to read at verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob, and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and taken him away and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob, and what follows now, verses 10 through the end, are our text for tonight. I will not reread that. Verses 10 through the end are our text. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob waked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And the stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Thus far the reading of the Holy and divine scriptures we consider as our text tonight for Ascension Day, verses 10 through 22. 10 through 22. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we gather this evening as a church of Jesus Christ to give thanks to God and to worship God for the mighty work of grace that He worked for us in the ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension is Jesus' act of going from the earth to the heaven, where He was crowned with glory and with honor. That ascension is a mighty work of grace for us and for our salvation, no less than the virgin birth, the cross, or the resurrection. In the ascension as well, then, there is a good word of God to His church that He redeemed by the cross of Jesus Christ, and to the pilgrim and the stranger who here below, like Jacob, received a good word from God in this dream. Especially does the ascension teach the church of God not to be earthly minded, but heavenly minded. That's the main gospel and the main exhortation of the ascension and the doctrine of the ascension to the church. Be not earthly minded, but be heavenly minded. If the promise of God in the covenant and the promise of God in the covenant being one with the kingdom and with the church, then this earth is what God promises to us. Nevertheless, not this earth as it is, but this earth as God destined it to be, joined with the earth and the heaven. The promise of God in the covenant is a heavenly promise. The promise of God in the kingdom and in the church is a heavenly promise. If it's not, then Jesus going to heaven in the ascension was a huge mistake. If our hope is not heaven, then the ascension has nothing to say to us. The apostles recognized this in their perplexity after the resurrection of Jesus Christ with the gospel that Jesus preached to them that He was going away. As they were marching outside the city of Jerusalem, out the Mount of Olives, then they kept asking, "Lord, wilt Thou now restore unto us the kingdom?" They had an earthly hope for an earthly kingdom. They were sorely mistaken, and the ascension with that earthly hope made no sense whatsoever. The ascension and earthly hope are totally incompatible. We see that also in the history of Jacob here. What a scene there at Bethel. Jacob had already journeyed from Beersheba, way down in the south of Canaan, in the Negev. And he came now to Bethel, a journey of about 60 miles, at least 2 days hard travel. It's doubtful that he did that in one day. At least two, maybe more. And he has now a few days' travel behind him as he comes to Bethel. And the sun is set. And he lays him down to sleep there, and he takes the stones for his pillows. And so Moses relates in the briefest of terms the harrowing escape of Jacob from the clutches of Esau. He had nothing except the clothes on his back, a little cruse of oil, and Esau was left in possession of everything. Here we see the earthly, the reprobate, the ungodly prosper marvelously. Jacob receives everything so that the reprobate, the wicked, and the one whom God hates succeeds in the earth. The one who God loves, the one who had been blessed by his father, the one who had been obedient, is left with nothing. He has to flee and he's stripped of everything, and he slips away, as it were, with his life. And he has a very severe and hard journey, so that he comes to this forsaken place with no friend, with only his clothes and not even a bed. And here, God reveals the gospel of the ascension to Jacob. Here, God reveals himself as the friend of Jacob. Here, God opens heaven for Jacob's view to show Jacob what the promise of God meant, so that Jacob, though he had forsaken everything earthly and he had to flee for his life, yet had everything because he had God. He had God's goodwill and he had God's favor, God's promise, which was a heavenly one. And that's the gospel that this little dream of Jacob's ladder teaches also to us with regard to the promise of God to us in the gospel of the ascension of Jesus Christ. Let us then tonight look briefly at this dream of Jacob under the theme Jacob's ladder. Let us notice first of all what this was. Let us notice secondly its revelation. And let us notice finally giving thanks for it, Jacob's ladder. What this was, its revelation, and giving thanks for it. The main point in the passage here, verses 10 through 22, is the ladder that Jacob saw in his dream. Everything else in the passage is either explaining that ladder or following from that ladder. The Hebrew scholars tell us that the word that is translated by the King James Version as ladder is the correct translation. Some would like to have that word translated staircase, as though Jacob saw a grand staircase to heaven. No, he didn't. He saw a little homely ladder, a fixture of God's house. Like it is a fixture of many of our houses, there was a ladder here at Bethel. Jacob lay himself down to sleep, and he dreams a dream. And in that dream, he sees several distinct things. He sees, first of all, a ladder come down from heaven toward the earth. And that ladder coming down from heaven toward the earth is fixed, or affixed to the earth. And then that ladder that is affixed to the earth reaches up and it strikes the heaven, as you might take a ladder up and lean up against the top of some wall. And upon that ladder, after that ladder has affixed itself on the earth, and after that ladder has struck the heaven, then the text alerts us with the second behold that Jacob notices the arrival of angels upon the ladder. Some angels are going up, some angels are going down, but the angels are ascending and descending upon this ladder in the house of God. And then upon the top of that ladder, with the third behold, Jacob notices Jehovah God himself standing, and he hears him speak. But Jacob sees a ladder. A ladder that is affixed to the earth and a ladder that reaches to heaven. The basic idea of a ladder is that it's a very simple way to reach what you cannot otherwise reach. If you have some high spot in the house that you need to get to, you use a ladder to get to that spot. Without the ladder, you can't reach it. And furthermore, with that ladder, those two otherwise disconnected places are joined together. A ladder joins two places together. So, for example, you may use a ladder if you build a little tree house in a tree for your children. You use a ladder to get to the top.
And that ladder joins the ground and the treehouse. Those are the basic ideas of a ladder. It's an instrument to reach an otherwise inaccessible place. And furthermore, it joins those two places together. This ladder here is a ladder that, first of all, comes out of heaven. And it fixes upon the earth. Literally, it's fixed toward the earth. That's the very clear language of the text. The ladder in the dream of Jacob has a direction to it. It is toward the earth. It's coming down toward the earth. It fixes on the earth. And that ladder then, secondly, is toward heaven. It reaches up and it strikes the heaven. This ladder is, as it were, moving and finally arrives at its two distinct locations, the earth and heaven. Furthermore, on this ladder, Jacob's attention is grabbed by the angels. There's angels coming out of heaven, and there's angels going up into heaven. The angels are God's messengers. That's what the word angel means, messenger. They're spiritual beings that God made on the first day of creation that inhabit the heavens. And specifically, those angels are particularly involved in the salvation of man. They're present at all the crucial times in the Bible where God announces salvation. And they're present here, going up and coming down on the ladder. And their going up and coming down on the ladder indicates that that ladder is the means whereby there is communication, because their word, their name means messenger. There is communication. And therefore, there is a familiar fellowship between earth and heaven. That in this ladder, Jacob sees the union of earth and heaven. And finally, Jacob, with his eyes, traces that ladder all the way up, and he beholds God standing at the top of the ladder. That ladder doesn't merely bring to heaven, but that ladder brings into the very presence of God. And in the presence of God, Jacob on earth, and now by means of that ladder being brought up into the very presence of God, Jacob hears God speak. And what lovely words God speaks to Jacob. All of those words fundamentally involve the covenant promise. God is revealing himself here to be the covenant God of Jacob, to be the friend of Jacob, to be the Savior of Jacob, to be the Lord of Jacob. We hear from God here his covenant promise to give to Jacob and to his seed the land. And we hear from God the word that he will never leave or forsake Jacob. That is, that he will always be with him. Fundamentally, it's this. That ladder brings into the covenant fellowship of God. It brings into his fellowship and his friendship. And in the presence of God, the one who is in the presence of God receives from God the promise of the world. In thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Thy seed will extend north and south and east and west. What is that but the promise of the world? And as though to reinforce that idea, that ladder brings into the very presence of God, and that in the presence of God, the one who is brought into his presence is blessed with his fellowship and his friendship. Jacob says, God, or the Lord, is in this place, and I knew it not. And This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. Jacob's ladder. And that ladder is Christ. Jacob saw, and God showed in that ladder, Jesus Christ. That's clear from the New Testament. That's clear, first of all, from John 1, verse 51. In John 1, verse 51, Nathanael marvels that Jesus saw Nathanael under a fig tree before he had even met him. And Jesus says, Nathanael, you'll see greater things than this. For the days come when afterward the heaven shall be opened and you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And there Jesus calls himself Jacob's ladder. And furthermore, this is the teaching of the apostle in Ephesians 1 verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that he might gather together all things in one, even in Christ, both which is in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. The ladder that Jacob sees is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the union of earth and heaven. Jesus Christ is the gateway to heaven. Jesus Christ is heaven opened. That's who he is. Jesus is that, first of all, in his person. In his own person, he is the union of earth and heaven. That's because in his own person, he's the union of God. He's very God. And he's very man. He possesses all the qualities and powers of God. And he possesses all the qualities and powers of man. He is heaven and earth united in his own person. In Jesus Christ, God came down to us, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's God with us. And furthermore, when Jesus came down in all of his work, he is heaven and earth united. He came down, and this ladder that is Jesus Christ was firmly fixed upon the earth, in that he assumed to himself our human nature. Jesus didn't dwell on the earth aloof from the earth. He dwelt on the earth in our flesh. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was touched with all the feelings of our infirmities. He lived on the earth. He was fixed, as it were, upon the earth in his human nature. And he was fixed. Very really, he was affixed to the earth through the cross. And from the cross, he went even deeper, descending into the lower parts of the earth, descending there on the cross even to hell, and going into the grave. So they descended into the depths of the earth. He was very much fixed upon the earth. And he ascended. He came down from heaven. He came down and he went to the lower parts of the earth and he went up far above all heavens. He struck heaven. That's what the ascension is about. The ascension is about going to heaven. That's very simple. I wonder if that's why it's so widely ignored. I wonder if that's why church is so sparsely filled. Ascension Day after Ascension Day after Ascension Day. I wonder if that's why we don't view it so clearly as a wonder of God's grace as we do the cross and the resurrection. It's about heaven. It's about going to heaven. And we're so often earthly minded, concerned more about this world than heaven. We get caught up in the world. The world has an allure to us. The world's attractive. We like it comfortable in the world. We like to have it easy in the world. The ascension's about heaven. The ascension is about heaven open. And the ascension is about the way to heaven.
I wonder if that's why the church world
so enamored with their world relief and their organizations to alleviate man's poverty and their focus upon all kinds of social issues widely ignores the ascension.
It's about heaven.
So you see, they want, an earthly-minded man wants heaven on earth. He strives after that. He longs for it. He works for it. He labors for it. He hopes for it. But that isn't God's promise. God's promise is about going from the earth to heaven. God's promise is about the redemption of the earth, the lifting up of the earth to the heavens. God's promise is about the union of earth and heaven. Not about bringing heaven down to earth, but about bringing the earth up to heaven. To join the earth into heaven. To make them one realm. That's not what it was in the beginning. It wasn't one realm. God in the beginning, when God made the earth and the heaven, He made them separate. They are two very different realms. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, we read only about the heavens in one word. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And then your focus goes to the earth. And you read very little about the heaven after that. They're distinct. There's a great gulf fixed between earth and heaven. Going to heaven isn't a matter of walking there. Going to heaven isn't a matter of getting on a journey and taking a very long journey to heaven. Going to heaven isn't what souls do automatically. Going to heaven is a wonder of grace. No man goes to heaven unless God takes him there. And no man goes to heaven apart from Jesus Christ going to heaven first. That ladder has to be fixed between earth and heaven, or no one gets there. That's the gospel of the ascension. Jesus, who came down to this earth, who was affixed to the earth at the cross, who went down in the lower parts of the earth, ascended far above all heavens, himself first. And the ascension, this ladder, which is the way to heaven, reached its resting place up there against the wall of heaven. And He went there for us. That's clearly taught in the ladder. because you have angels ascending and descending on it. Those angels are there to indicate that that ladder is for us. The angels, you see, are the ministers, the servants of the heirs of salvation. The angels were created by God to serve us. And their going up and down on that ladder indicate that that ladder serves us. In fact, it serves our salvation. That ladder is an Arminian ladder. That ladder is not a ladder that God has done his part now and man has to do his part. That's not that ladder. That ladder isn't that God accomplished everything in Jesus Christ. God opened the way to heaven. God provided the atonement that pays for all man's sins. If only man will grab hold of that ladder and climb up. It's not an Arminian ladder. If an Arminian tries to climb on that ladder, the angels will knock him down. There's no room on man for man to climb that ladder. There's angels going up and down on it. And that indicates the power of that ladder. The power of that ladder is the power of God. The power of God's grace through Jesus Christ to bring down to man heavenly gifts and to bring man up into heaven. That's a ladder. They bring down to us all the heavenly gifts. Jesus Christ. They bring down to us the forgiveness of sins so that we have the right to go to heaven. No man goes to heaven apart from the forgiveness of sins. They bring down to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ whereby we have the right to enter in into heaven. No man has the right to go to heaven apart from the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They bring to us the holiness of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from the pollution of our sins so that we can be in the presence of God. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And they bring us up to heaven. And there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. He is the gateway to heaven. Man goes up on him, or man goes into hell. And in that ladder too, we see God's will for all things. God here in this dream through Jacob, as it were, ahead millennium. Millennium until Christ comes again. That's what the ascension's about too. The ascension's about Christ coming again. Christ said that himself. I go away, and if I go away, I'll come again. That's what the angels told the disciples as they stood gazing up into heaven. Why do you stand gazing up into heaven? As the Son of Man went, so shall he come again. The ascension is in Christ's going away, also the promise of his return. And we see here the goal. We see here the end of all things. The end of all things. The will of God for his covenant and his kingdom and his church is nothing less than the union of the heaven and the earth. God will wrap up in Christ everything that he had made into one. So that ladder teaches us. That's what the ascension teaches us too. It teaches us what God's will is for his elect people. His will is that they in all things be reconciled to him. That they be taken into his fellowship and his friendship. That's why Jacob could leave everything. That's why he could walk away with nothing but the clothes on his back and a little oil to moisten his bread. Because he wasn't seeking in earthly Canaan. He was a stranger and a pilgrim. And he sought a heavenly city
had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That ladder reveals that the will of God for His elect people is nothing less than their eternal salvation, to bring us to heaven and to unite heaven and earth and to make it our abode forever. Is a man going to contend for this world then? Is a man going to labor for this world then? Is a man for the sake of this world going to give up heavenly things? If you see heaven opened, which is what we see in the cross and resurrection and the ascension now of Jesus Christ, we have heaven opened. We press on toward heaven. And you understand you only see heaven open if God reveals it to you. That's what Jacob said. Jacob said, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not." That's why he had to have a dream. That dream was simply the way for God to reveal the stairway or the ladder to heaven. The ladder wasn't seen or perceived or known apart from God's act of making it known. And God made it known to Jacob in a dream. And God made it known to Jacob in a type and in a shadow. Jacob saw a ladder. And he saw that ladder in a dream, but that was the type of Jesus Christ. And God now speaks about the ladder to heaven in the gospel. God makes known His saving will toward His people in the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel that is nothing less than the voice of God speaking from the top of the ladder and communicating to His people the promise and His will toward them. And furthermore, God not only reveals that ladder in the preaching of the gospel objectively, but also subjectively by faith. That's what the text means when Jacob, it says Jacob was afraid. He was afraid. But that isn't quite right. That fear wasn't terror. That fear was faith. The latter is perceived through the preaching of the gospel by faith. Faith sees what the eye cannot see. Faith perceives the unseen. And faith sees through the preaching of the gospel Jesus Christ as a ladder to heaven. And by faith, we perceive it. By faith, we hear God speak. By faith, we receive it and believe it. And that's very simply God's gift. God gives the gospel. And God gives the gift of faith. And to whom does He give it? He gives it to Jacob. Not Esau. He gives it to His elect. Not the reprobate. The preaching of the gospel is the means by faith for God to open up heaven. Because that preaching reveals Jesus Christ. That's what we call the preaching. It is the key of the kingdom. It opens up by revealing Jesus Christ, heaven itself, received by faith. And that revelation, you understand, takes place at Bethel. Still today, it takes place at Bethel. Can't see it anywhere else but Bethel. Jacob said that. Said at Bethel, this will be seen.
Bethel means house of God. Doesn't matter what it was called before. They didn't call Bethel, Bethel always. The Bible here speaks from the viewpoint of Moses. Jacob called it Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. It's speaking from the viewpoint of Moses. When Moses came into the land of, or when Joshua came into the land of Canaan with Israel, then they called that city Luz. Why did they call it Luz? Because man can't see the gateway to heaven. It's not known apart from revelation. It's not known apart from the gift of faith. But it's there. Man couldn't see it. That's often what unbelievers say about the church. Bethel here is house of God. That's the church. The gateway to heaven is in the church. The church is not the gateway to heaven. Just as Bethel wasn't the ladder. But the ladder is found in Bethel. And that gateway to heaven is found in Bethel. That's the church. That's often what unbelievers say about the true church. What's there? We'll call it Luz. That isn't the house of God. There's nothing there. But faith sees Bethel. Because faith sees there in the preaching of the gospel the ladder to heaven. Because faith sees and hears there the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, faith calls it Bethel. Because that's where God is. That's where God is pleased to reveal himself and to reveal Jesus Christ as the way to heaven. That's where God is pleased to speak and where God is pleased to communicate his grace through Jesus Christ, even by the means of ministering spirits and messengers. And that too is the gospel of the ascension. Bethel isn't found now in any particular place in the world. Bethel is not that homely town over there in that forsaken part of the world. But Bethel is the church. That's the truth too of the ascension. When Jesus Christ went up far above all heavens, he fills all things, and he is, and Bethel is, and the gateway to heaven is, wherever he reveals the preaching of the gospel. And that word of the ascension of the Christ who went up to his church is the same word to Jacob. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's the word of the ascension. That because he went up, he is at no time absent from us. That he's with us wherever we are. That he will never leave us nor forsake us until he performs his good word to us. He gives us grace. Communicates all kinds of heavenly benefits to us. He vouches to us his promise and his presence. It's for us who, like Jacob, live here with trials and tribulations. I don't know if the ladder from heaven appeals to a man who's had no trials or tribulations. What do I want heaven for? I've got it pretty good here. What do I need heaven for? My life's going well, but when you have trials and tribulations, when you're like Jacob, a believer and elect, and you have to run when you're harried, when you're chased, when you're ridiculed, when they try to take away what's your inheritance, when you have to leave and forsake all for the gospel, when you have to suffer for the promise's sake, then heaven becomes lovely. And that's all I want to hear about. Open heaven to me and show me heaven and the will of God for my salvation in heaven and the union of all things. When heaven and earth will be united in all that's ugly and defiled and wicked and abominable is disinherited. And we receive the universe as our inheritance. Oh yes, open heaven to me. And if you've seen in your trials, heaven opened. If you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ in the ascension, you've seen heaven opened. And give thanks for it. That's what Jacob does. He wakes up and he worships. He rolls over his stone. He sets that stone up on its side and he pours whatever little oil he had left over the top of it. It's the only thing he had. So he pours it over top of the stone. And then he vows a vow. If God will be with me and keep me in my way and give me bread to eat and raiment for my back so that I return in shalom or peace to my father's house, then Jehovah will be my God. He isn't making a vow there that's conditional. He isn't holding in suspense to see whether God will keep his promise or not and then Jacob will worship him. He is basing his own vow upon the promise of God, because God will keep me in all my way and will give me food and raiment and will return me to my father's house in peace. Jehovah will be my God. Because God's promise is so sure, and we vow our vow based on his promise. And that vow, then, is his thanksgiving. And that thanksgiving, you understand, includes his whole life. That's why he brings up food and raiment. That's why he talks about the tenth. We don't tithe anymore. That's for the Old Testament. It isn't a good round number. The tithe was symbolic. The tithe was typical. It was typical of the entire life of the believer. The believer was saying there, when I give a tenth, everything is God's. From the bread that I eat to the clothes on my back, to the air that I breathe, to all my work and labor, everything is God's. And in all of it, that's the vow, you see, in all of it, I don't seek those things but heaven. That's Jacob's vow. The ascension teaches us as well about our thanksgiving. Teaches us to be thankful. A thanksgiving that takes the form of worship in Bethel, that is the house of God. A man that won't worship isn't very thankful. And it's a thanksgiving that takes the form of one's entire life lived toward heaven. Jacob said, I give a tenth. He's saying, my entire life is going to be toward heaven. That's what that teaches us. A man who seeks earthly things can't vow that vow, can't say, I'm going to give a tenth. That is, that whole life is going to be toward heaven. He can't say that. Why? Because he's always fretting and worrying about the earthly things. He's always worrying about his earthly estate. He's always saying, what am I going to do about my clothes? And what am I going to do about my food? And he does not rest in the promise of God. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've opened heaven to you. Will I not give you food and raiment too? The ascension teaches us not to seek earthly things, not to be earthly minded, but to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To live toward heaven. To believe the will of God. That he wills us to be in heaven. That he'll take us there. Man or woman or child who believes that, believes the gospel of the ascension. And that man or woman or child can go on their pilgrim journey in peace. Because the word of God to him is sure. He's safe. God will return him to his Father's house in peace. That's the promise to take us to heaven. That where Christ is, there we may also be. That's the gospel, Jacob's ladder. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We ask that thou apply it to our hearts, that thou wilt from week to week show us the ladder to heaven in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That thou wilt give us faith to believe in him, to withdraw our trust from all creatures, to forsake all necessary for the gospel's sake, to receive such food and raiment as thou dost give unto us, to press all things to the service of the kingdom of heaven, and that we might rest in thy will. That where Christ is, there we will be also when he returns for us, takes us to heavenly glory. For Jesus' sake, amen.